Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Lux Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Lux Cafe.
When Ryan's when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind Around with John Pollock and Waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind Around for Monday night, downloaded Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind Around for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Way. Take the mic.
All right, Raw. Coming up in just a few moments, but before we get to that, this week we have got the return of the Ask Away Mailbag Show. We want to let everybody know that your questions can be submitted before Thursday morning up at forum.postwrestling.com. The forum, it was down for a count of 19, but it made it into the ring at the count of 20 today, thanks to Robert Brocky.
Yeah.
The forum is alive. So you can submit your questions before Thursday morning, or you can send over your questions via voice memo at memo.fm/postwrestling. Already a lot of questions are in there. We will get to all of them this coming Thursday. That is an exclusive on the Post Wrestling Cafe. If you had a chance last week to sample some of these shows on our open house week, you can jump on board. $6 a month gets you the full month's access to get the full feel of all that's happening on the Post Wrestling Cafe. We will also have coming up this weekend, two shows on Saturday night. Bruce Lord will join Kate from Montreal for Collision Course on the Cafe, and Davey Portman teams up with the Cubs fan from Lucha Blog to review Worlds Collide, which is happening on Friday night. They will have a show coming out on the free feed on Saturday. I'm looking forward to that one. And of course, the NWA podcast. They are back this coming Sunday night. So carve out half your day for the NWA podcast. They'll have a lot to recap and review and look toward.
Walk to work on Monday morning, maybe walk back home and then walk back again, and then maybe because you'll have great company for the entire walk.
All of that can be found at postwrestling.com, and you can keep up to date on all the news, all of the shows that are going down tonight. What was going down was Raw at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 8,784 tickets distributed, and we have Joe Tessitore and Corey Graves. As Corey noted, that Wade is on vacation and has not been exiled away.
No, he has not been, I guess, despite speculation. So, yes, he is on vacation.
He took a vacation. He'll be back in a couple of weeks, and then presumably back on Raw, I guess we can assume.
I think so, yeah. Can we assume Tessitore is on Mondays instead of Fridays because of his other obligations?
Yeah, I mean, this was the same swap they did a year ago, so I think it's the same deal this year, and it's probably going to be one every year as long as Tessitore has his football commitments. The Usos come out through the crowd, Jimmy and Jay, and Wei, what do you think about Monday Night Raw?
They said that more than one time. It was once by the commentary and once by Jimmy.
And it's his shirt.
And it's his shirt. I did not even notice
that. Yeah, that's where they're trying to get this over. And I saw this shirt when it first got released, and I was like, it doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, but Jimmy was bound and determined to make it so.
Monday Night Raw. I don't think so. I really
would
don't
you be
so.
More likely to wear that or a shirt that on the back reads woof, 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 woof.
I might be the woof, 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 gotta say.
Well, they get interrupted by a Woof Woof and Bronson Reed. And Braun asks Jimmy, are you lost? This isn't SmackDown. Jimmy didn't have an answer for this. It's like, ah, who cares?
You can ask that of half this roster.
You really can. He said, the dogs run Monday Night Raw. And Breaker gets so upset about what his family did to Paul Heyman, referring to Reigns, that he's got to be held back by Bronson Reed. And Jimmy reminds him, I know where this is. This is Monday Night Raw. It's Monday Night.
Yeah, okay. Let's put an end to this. Nobody buy the shirt, please.
Yeah. It's
I don't think this will be the next eat.
You don't see a Mun Jimmy Night Raw? No. He said that, you know, Seth used to have J&J security, but I guess you guys are PBJ&J security.
That was a bit better, right?
A bit? Okay.
No?
Let's just keep going. The crowd starts singing for Roman Reigns, the most over guy in this segment. And wouldn't you know it, the Usos already went to Adam Pearce, including Jimmy. He just went to his non-boss, and they got a tag match set for WrestlePalooza. And I know what Jay was thinking. Man, all these catchphrases are being thrown out. Maybe I can send them an oldie. He said, we can get jiggy with it right now. But they were not going to get jiggy with it tonight. No, in fact, Reed says, you guys can wait until September 20th. So that is our latest addition to WrestlePalooza. And then LA Knight Incognito, wearing a baseball cap, comes out, jumps Reed and Breaker, fights them to the ringside area, Usos dive, and then Knight nearly gets Irish whipped into Jay in the corner, but he holds up. Reed runs at LA Knight, who sidesteps, and Reed splashes Jay, who thinks this was all a ploy by LA Knight. I mean, clearly this guy had eyes in the back of his head and knew this was going to be occurring, but this was Jay's theory and would be our thread throughout the entire night of Jay Uso and his lack of trust in LA Knight.
I mean, it's more than just tonight. I mean, these two have been at it for a little bit, and this misunderstanding has been brewing quite a bit up until now. So
I guess if we're to compare their relationship to where it was a month ago, it's Knight and Jay.
Oh, you should be writing the shirts, John. Okay.
Yeah. They should be a team. I could merchandise these guys.
Lovely. I thought overall it was a good segment. I think the Usos at this point have been apart long enough. And more importantly, Jay has grown enough that this reunion, at least like of just the Usos and not them as part of like a War Games team or whatever, that it feels significant. I mean, even since War Games, I mean, Jay's been a world champion, so a lot has changed for them since then. I liked them doing their old Usos call and response style promo.
That was actually, I skipped over that. That was probably the best part of the promo, I thought, was...
Which at the time, I don't know if many people really liked as that much. Like,
They cheered when they did it here.
I remember they worked really hard to try to develop that style and to try to get it over, and it wasn't to the greatest of successes, at least to start. But by now, because it's old, we have a bit of a nostalgic feeling attached to it, and it's kind of cool again. I liked
when they were going through the different names for Paul Heyman, and they got to the last one of the Oracle, and Jimmy said, yeah, he looks like one.
They called him the Orca, mistaking the Oracle, I suppose.
Do you think they think that's his nickname?
The Orca?
The Orca.
That could be a fun, I guess, way to mispronounce it. Yeah. I thought Jimmy in particular sounded really good here. He, to me, he's always, to me, sounded like the more natural and more charismatic brother. This, dating back to Total Divas, right? You know, when we first got to hear them speak outside of, I guess, their twin selves. And I thought tonight was a good reminder of what he brings to the table that Jay doesn't, despite, of course, Jay not becoming an act that I would suggest has eclipsed this tag team.
He did not feel like the hanger-on in this segment, I thought. Jimmy did come off well here. And they started promoting the special start time of 7 p.m. Eastern next Monday. Knight is with Pierce in the back, and they're talking. Saxton comes in. Knight doesn't care about the Uso reunion. He didn't try to have Jay get splashed, and he wants to face Bronson Reed or Braun Breaker. Any of the Brons I want to face. He said, I'll face LeBron. I'll face Lil Bronny. Or Charles Bronson. Anyone with Braun in their name, I will take on. Yeah. Except Strowman.
No, that one's a bit tougher.
AJ Styles, El Grande Americano. Styles attacks before the bell, and then as he is clotheslining him to the floor, he sets up for the phenomenal forearm when the second El Grande shows up, grabbing the leg, and then the Kaiser version sends him flying over the steps. We come back from break. Grande goes for a tornado DDT off the turnbuckle, but it's turned into an exploder. Styles hits a rack bomb, and then after Grande Americano scales to the top, he turns it into a blockbuster, and Dragon Lee runs down, pulls the second El Grande Americano off the apron, and hits this great-looking Rana off the apron to the floor, and Styles does this great transition. After an attempted roll-up, Americano lifts him up as if he's going for the Styles Clash, and Styles counters to his own Styles Clash, winning in 9 minutes.
Great looking finish, as I guess is often the case with these AJ Styles class finishes. I thought the match was fine, but I mean, really, Americano's act is way more interesting, way more of a spectacle in front of a Mexican crowd on these AAA shows, and they haven't necessarily figured out how to maybe translate that hysteria over in the type of reactions that this guy gets on those shows to WWE yet. He's just not as big of a character on the show, but I mean, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing him at Worlds Collide.
And outside of
is he on the card? Is he on Worlds Collide? Grande.
No, he's not, but they're heavily hinting that he's, you know, Dominic's backup. So I would assume he'll be involved in the main event, but he's not listed for a match. I think you could watch this show and almost have no concept that Worlds Collide is happening on Friday.
Yeah, they did that big rundown of the matches on Friday, and you had Dominic.
Like, it was mentioned on the show tonight, but it hardly felt like any kind of a priority. I mean, they have SmackDown, I guess, to push you immediately after on. They did note it will be on YouTube, which they had kind of kept. I don't think they had listed YouTube before tonight, but it's going to be on YouTube like the last couple of shows.
Support for this podcast comes from NordVPN. By now, a lot of our listeners already know about the benefits of a VPN for their wrestling consumption, helping them access cheaper prices for pay-per-views or ad-free programming through international versions of popular streaming services. But the most important benefit of a VPN continues to be its ability to help you shield your browsing. Using a trusted VPN like NordVPN adds an extra layer of protection from prying eyes, preventing your sensitive data from being sold or shared with third parties that may put you at risk of unwanted solicitations or even fraud. You know the link by now. NordVPN.com/postwrestling. Sign up for a 2-year plan for just a few dollars per month and get 4 bonus months through our exclusive offer. NordVPN.com/postwrestling. As always, you can try it with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Stay safe and enjoy all the benefits of a secure internet with Nord.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pierce, this was interesting. Pierce is informing Io Sky that Stephanie Vaquer is not here tonight, therefore the contract signing is canceled. And Io's asking about the match. Is it still on? and Pierce believes the match will still be on. Now, unless I'm missing something here, did they ever announce a contract signing?
I have to think so. Otherwise, why would they?
Well, I have no recollection of them ever announcing a contract signing, so I will give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe this was announced somewhere. But Nikki Bella walks in, and she's so happy that Io will still get her title match with Stephanie Vaque. And Asuka comes in to warn Nikki to stay away from her. You are not to see this woman anymore. And Nikki says, Asuka, you will respect me. And Asuka just laughs this off, and we set up the match in the making for years and years. It's going to be Asuka, Nikki Bella, finally.
This is the first time ever?
They said this is a first-time singles match. Their lone kind of meeting in the ring, they were the final two in the first Women's Rumble that Asuka won.
Okay, wow. Well, these are two long-tenured WWE women, and I guess they've just been around for so long, I would have assumed that they would have met at some point, but okay, I guess they never really overlapped. As the weeks progress, I really do think they continue to refine and add to what's working about this Asuka, Kairi, Io act.
Can we agree the best thing is still Kairi at this point?
Because
I think this thing is getting over, and they've made it now the end to every single promo spot where she's just left like speechless and then screamed by Asuka in the background. I like the way they end these.
The best thing is Asuka in all this. Like, none of this would work without Asuka and her tremendous performances, but they've come up with a great role for Kairi that certainly adds to the entire act. Really weird about Stephanie Vaquer. Like, I mean, you think is there any reason, could be a legit reason why she's not there this week, or maybe they just wanted to cut the segment.
Well, unlike the Naomi deal, I mean, they were making this one very clear that the match should not be there should be no problem with the match indicate
she's not pregnant.
I would assume not if they believe the match is going to be happening in 2 weeks and or that it's some kind of serious injury. Like, you would think that it's I don't know. They I'm sure we will find out if this was just something minor.
I have to say, like, I think they come up with terrible reasons for why Nikki Bella would be inserted into these segments. Like, her role is to just be like,
she had no reason to be in Milwaukee, period, for tonight. And yet she is all over the show. She just like hovers around backstage and
she's just always happy for people.
What's going on. And she just inserts herself.
And most of the time it's like, I just overheard you got this. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. Like, it's
why
like
are you following me?
Why are you so happy?
Like, Stephanie Vaque, right?
Yeah. I think they could come up with a better reason for her, like, just like being a part of these scenes. They could probably come up with a better reason for anybody inserting themselves into these scenes. But I think with Nikki, it's also part of her delivery. She just sounds so insincere when she's saying, "I'm so happy for you." If I didn't know her delivery, I would have assumed that she's going to turn heel on Io at some point.
They should really total Bella's this up. And it's like right after this moment, we go to the cutaway and there's Nikki on her confessional and just, I was so pissed. Why should Io be getting this title shot? It was disrespectful.
Well, her podcast is where she sounds the most sincere. Okay. And guarantee you tomorrow, maybe on this week's show, we will hear the behind the scenes certainly of the match tonight.
She's learned she has not exactly mastered the podcast drama feud makeup formula yet, where she went on and made a comment about what Wade Barrett had said about her on the pre-show, which I had no concept of. And when I heard what he said, I didn't know what this drama was. Then Wade responds to it on X, and then Nikki and Wade talk privately, and then Nikki goes on X to expunge Wade from probably these Bella fans that probably berated him all weekend. What a weekend for Wade Barrett. I'm sure his online discourse was just wonderful. No wonder this guy's on vacation. Probably threw his phone into the ocean.
He should delete Instagram, maybe.
Yes, yesterday. There's a video on AJ Lee. We'll be reintroduced to her later.
Very good video. I think it's worth talking about because, I mean, WWE does these so well where, I mean, number one is a follow-up to Friday. you know, this just highlighted that segment really well and also reminded us, or the people who haven't been watching wrestling for the past 10 years, even those of us who have and might have forgotten, how big of a deal this person was. Honestly, they made her feel like she was a bigger deal than she actually was, which is the job of a hype video, you know. So I thought this did a great job.
Lyra and Raquel Rodriguez, who went 12 minutes and 43 seconds. We had Raquel catching a high cross, hitting the fall-away slam, and then a twisting corkscrew before wrapping Lyra's back around the post, and this would weaken the back of Lyra. And because she had the weakened back, that gave Corey Graves the ability to explain this incredibly this pop-up drop kick that Lyra tried to do, and it just did not come off as intended. But he was just, that's the back giving out. And then there was this awkward looking jawbreaker into a stunner, but Lyra comes back and she goes for this sunset bomb, and she like does it in like, she slowly goes over Raquel, and then she can't power her off, so she deadlifts herself back up for added leverage to send Raquel off.
She crunches.
This was the most impressive looking sunset bomb I've seen. Hiromu's never done it this way.
It was awesome. And again, like maybe, you know, so often we think about new moves in wrestling and it tends to be like, hey, how can I add an extra like rotation to this? Or how can I like do an extra flip in order to do this? Sometimes it might be as simple as like, I'm trying to do this and I can't do it, and therefore I'm going to lift my legs up so I can increase my momentum when I swing back down. I thought it was really well designed.
I thought it also really kind of protected Raquel's size too. Like they built a lot of this stuff around instead of just throwing Raquel around, and it's like it diminishes the size. I can only hope that the sunset bomb spot was crafted by Kevin Nash as he's helped mentor
or
Raquel.
The Undertaker.
Perhaps. She can't lift her for the Nightwing because of the back. So Roxanne is on the apron, gets drop kicked, and then Lyra pulling out a European clutch. And then Lyra goes to the top and is about to deliver the leg drop when she is stopped as Raquel lifts her by the throat into a Tejana bomb off the turnbuckle, winning in 12 minutes and 43 seconds. So
even the finish was cool. I mean, again, very simple, nothing that fancy about it. You know, she's like, Lyra is up on the second rope. She's trying to kick Raquel off. Raquel just drags her leg into the bomb, into the choke, and then into the bomb. I thought that was great. So,
yeah, I like the match. I thought, you know, minor hiccups aside, I thought they crafted this really well with the back injury. And again, making Raquel feel like that, like really working this around her size and Lyra, who's very good in the underdog role here. So I thought this came across very well.
Agreed. I thought Raquel here showed some increased aggression, and I thought this was among like the most intimidating she's come across during this run. So I thought this was certainly improved. Lyra, I would say like her babyface heel status has been very confusing over the past summer. But I think she wrestled as a very effective babyface here. The crowd was very responsive to her, and it seems to set her up for whatever this Bayley storyline is going to be.
And then we had Penta with his pals, the War Raiders, in the back. And the War Raiders informed Penta.
His best friends.
His best friends. And they don't even have Honor in their background.
You're right. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't have any shared history in promotions? New Japan. Oh, wait, no. They don't.
No.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I guess.
Like, I'm sure there are
crossover.
Did there they work shows AAA? That they have been on in the past outside of WWE, but anyway.
Well, they know friends. They know people, all right?
They know people. Well, the War Raiders told Penta, we've got your back. It was like, yeah. For what? He's not, as of right now, booked on this show for anything.
No. This was referencing last week when they were a team.
So what do they have? Just permanently, we've got your back?
Yeah. I mean, this was follow-up from last week saying, hey, like, thanks for helping me out against these New Day guys.
Does Penta have their
Anytime.
Back?
Anytime.
Okay, well.
If the War Raiders never have matches, so I don't think he needs they need his back.
Yeah, they're in the Nikki Bella role of the tag division. Just, like, sniff out the drama that's going on, and maybe you can insert yourself onto this show.
They should really start their own podcast and just start talking shit about, you know, what happened on Monday.
So Penta then pulls Adam Pearce aside And he says, since I've come here, the people love me. Why don't you love me? I swear this was Penta being booked to ask his boss, why don't you love me?
Why aren't you guys booking me more, basically?
You know, my last boss at least put me in like pay-per-views every now and then. He says, I want a title shot. This guy is just shooting for the moon here. Adam Pearce, this photo is very underrated right here. Thank you. It's like, okay. how about I get a one-way trip to Phoenix? I could really use some Phoenix in my booking. So Rusev, taken from the Nikki Bella playbook, just walks in and he calls Penta a clown. And Adam Pearce, who realizes, wait a minute, I came into this show without a main event, without a women's match, and without a match coming up next, books his third match in a row that would close this show that we did not have coming in. So thankfully.
To be fair, he did lose a contract signing. Okay, it could have been an hour-long contract signing. We don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, had this not happened, we probably would have got a contract signing for Bronson Reed and LA Knight before their match.
Yeah.
But yes, another. Is this another first time ever? A AEW alumni here.
It is. I looked it up. I don't think they faced each other in AEW.
Huge.
So,
So sadly, I was live at this point. That meant I got several promos during the commercial breaks. You ready for this?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Vic Joseph is with Grayson Waller and The New Day. And Grayson Waller announces that all of us are still in mourning. And Kofi Kingston states, I want you to refer to us in our state of mourning. He is mourning Waller. I am mourning Kingston. And he is mourning Woods. At this point, I nearly gave up on watching Raw any longer.
If this was a thing, maybe like in week one of this entire morning thing, I think that this could have had a chance.
Well,
but I mean, this is now being introduced after they've already done the video. I mean, like 3-4 months into this entire thing.
When do they transition and they're in mourning of this heel turn?
I would be doing it now.
Well, that's it. And then they continued to push their petition of the Mexican Destroyer, and they insulted Milwaukee. So that's what you missed on the commercial breakaway.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
Styles is with Dragon Lee, and he thanks him. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lee. And Jimmy walks in, and I swear to God, this is what Jimmy says. Hey, where's Jay? They're like, I think he's that way. It's like, cool. So he just leaves, and he goes, and there's Jay, like 10 feet away. And Jay's leaving. He's leaving for the rest of the night. It was like that time Carlito left and Ric Flair stopped him. And Jimmy says, we need to stay for the main event. It's like Bill Watts here booking. You don't leave till the main event is over. Jay's like, no, man, I'm out of here. This place sucks. Jay says, I'm not letting LA Knight slide for trying to get me tonight. And helping him isn't going to help us at WrestlePalooza or get my title back. Jimmy says, you're not sounding like yourself. You sound like Roman.
He specifically said, we're going to make sure they acknowledge us or we're going to smash all of them, which is, of course, two Roman Reigns lines.
Okay. He said, you're sounding like Roman. And Jay says, well, maybe sounding like myself isn't working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some interesting development. I guess we'll discuss it more later, but we could discuss a bit of it now. You know, Jay... They're having Jay start to show a bit of frustration following his title loss and also failed attempts to recapture it. So he is teasing maybe a more aggressive edge, maybe a more, a more aggressive edge influenced by his cousin. So I like it. I like it. And it gives Jimmy a bigger role here than just being Jay's partner. He's now a bit of a moral center for Jay.
Do we see them show up on a Friday night SmackDown?
Possibly, yeah. Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
AJ Lee comes out. And big reaction for AJ. This was the big segment promoted for the whole show, and she's wearing the IC title, and she gets a huge welcome back chant, and she introduces herself for those not around 10 years ago, which, I mean, quite honestly, how many people gave up on wrestling 10 years ago that might not have been watching any longer?
Well, how many people were born? Plenty.
I don't know how many kids in this audience were not born then, but there might have been some.
You don't think there were people under 10?
In this arena? Yeah, there were some. I don't know how many, but there were some.
Or watching at home?
There could be. That have just been confused all weekend. Like, who is this woman?
Yeah.
She says that I'm your favorite wrestler's favorite wrestler. And I retired 10 years ago, and the crowd boos. How dare you? How dare you? She said, I thought I had accomplished everything, and I was done. I went on a mental health journey, and I needed to take care of myself, and I got therapy, which led to a chant of therapy by the 9,000 people in Milwaukee. She says, every day is a fight, but it's worth it, and you are worth it, and I'm doing very well, and was doing well, until I turned on Raw, which there was a joke to be made there, but I'm not going to make it. And she says, when turning on Raw, it's one thing to see my husband fighting Drew McIntyre or Seth Rollins or John Cena. It's quite another to see him in the ring with Becky Lynch. And I really wanted to like Becky. She was a rebel, mentions the fact that AJ was technically a New York Times bestseller before she was. And then Becky had to motorboat my husband. I don't know is the exact term that would have been used, but let's go for it. And out comes Becky. And Becky says that this has nothing to do with your, this has nothing to do with you, just your stank ass husband. Stank ass husband. And says, you're wearing my title. And says, I'm going to have to go to therapy after this. And there's more chance. And AJ vouches, you know what? It works. I can give you some names. And Becky takes off her glasses, revealing a black eye that she must have received on Friday. And AJ calls it out, apologizes for it, and then lays down the belt, challenging Becky to come get it. And then this crowd starts chanting chicken and asks, where's your husband? And says how cowardly it is for your husband, AJ, to hide behind you. And then she calls upon Seth, who comes out and demands that the title be returned to Becky. And Lee says, you have two options. You can come into this ring to take your title, but you're going to risk getting another black eye, or you can agree to a tag match. And the mixed tag is proposed. Rollins says that he is going to enter the ring and take the belt back, but Lee stands in his way, and then CM Punk arrives, goes into the ring. GTS is attempted, but Seth escapes, and Rollins agrees to the match. He just loses his cool. The mixed tag is set, and then AJ kisses the belt and tosses it toward Becky. What was a pretty lengthy segment here, and definitely the most noteworthy thing on the show.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was lengthy because they probably weren't necessarily following a very tight script. I mean, you certainly got the feeling that when AJ was speaking out there, she was taking her time, and that it felt like a more of an sort of organic, looser feeling. And I mean, number one, it's Netflix, so I guess they're not really as like stuck to, you know, like times.
Oh no, who is the producer of this? Oh no,
unless
she's talking about books. I don't know who this bestseller list, Mr. Pritchard. I'm so sorry.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
I just want to make this guy happy. I really liked AJ's promo. I felt she sounded like a normal person, and yeah. I think in like she just came out, I thought she was just really personable in this promo. And I like the fact that you know she talked about like, you know, just topics that literally never get brought up in like a WWE setting. I thought this, it just felt like a real speech from AJ Lee, as opposed to coming out and doing a quote unquote promo, for instance.
I thought she showed a lot of humor and personality, you know, and especially for somebody's first real in-ring promo in about 10 years, to me, she didn't sound
She
nervous.
Played off the crowd, like she played off some of the chants and stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, she's settled in, like, you've seen people like leave the industry that have a lot more experience than AJ did, that it's a real adjustment coming back. And, you know, she came off really well on Friday, and this was more so like a, you know, a speaking role. And I thought she did very good in the segment.
Yeah, I thought, you know, taking the opportunity to allude to her mental health work, I thought was a great way to maybe set the tone for like this more mature version of her character, you know, one that represents a bit more than just whatever she represented in the past, which is certainly not much about, you know, mental health. Now she's setting the tone and setting the character to be that sort of representation for people, which I think is really cool. Becky, as before, obnoxious and incredibly entertaining. And I love Rollins essentially like kind of playing husband, being dragged into like also speaking to the manager. And to me, this feels like the main event of this show, at least in terms of hype, in terms of
I've got to say, like, even with like I'm like Cena and Lesnar is the big match you're pushing. But I agree. This feels to the audience like the big match of the show.
I could see them running Cena and Lesnar back, and that might take away some of the need for it to feel like to be in the main event itself. But I would still probably assume that they would put Cena and Lesnar there, just knowing them.
Yeah, and I guess it's an interesting question of like what you end up putting on last on this show, because like this, we still have the question mark if like Cody and Drew is on this show, that I can't even disqualify that potentially.
I don't think so. That's not bigger than either of those.
It's the only title match of these three.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel as big as either of them.
Well, we then get the next Bailey chapter. She doesn't know what the next step is or what good this has done. And the last person I wanted to hurt was Lyra. But then she hears the voice in her head that most people deserve it. But Bailey comes back. I'm a good person. I don't know how Lyra can ever forgive me. And then her heel voice laughs and tells her, save it for your diary. Move on. Do what's best for us. And Bailey promises to make it right. And of course, the announcers can hear all of these voices just like us. And Joe Tessitore remarks, Bailey's internal struggle is fascinating. That was the best reaction.
This guy's about to go off to call college football.
Damn, this is awesome. This is great. Yeah. And Graves says that maybe Bailey could take AJ's advice. Don't know if that was the aim of AJ's speech I'm not sure. One-liner at the end of this, but there you go. Fascinating. It's fascinating. Penta and Rusev. So Rusev gets hit with a backstabber, rolls out to the floor, and then Rusev misses a shoulder block, goes into the steps. We go through the break. Penta makes his comeback. And then out come New Day, complete with Morning Woods and Grayson Waller. They walk down, and then Rusev tries to capitalize, but Penta manages a Topicon Hero, taking out New Day and Waller. Which part of Penta's back did Eric and Ivar have during this this run-in? Were they?
They must have not been.
Were
watching.
They too far? Like, he's got this. He's good. Great. Then Penta manages as Tessitore describes it, the Mexican Destroyer. But Corey Graves, Tessitore's like, how did he kick out of that? And Graves protects Penta here by saying, that was actually more of a Code Red than a Mexican Destroyer. So it wasn't the scary maneuver of Penta's.
A reference to the big dog. An homage to the big dog.
Penta then knocks Morning Dick off the apron, and he leaps into a Machka kick, and Rusev pins him in 8 minutes and 34 seconds as Rusev yells, fear me now!
Yes. You know, this is, to me, the type of match that reminds us that Penta is still very popular, despite not really being booked in a program of note, in my opinion. I think this feud with the New Day has been completely endless.
Feels like it's endless. It feels like we're just going to still keep going. And
Great question about where these War Raiders were. I mean, they said, you know, they showed us specifically that these guys have his back.
We've got your back.
To be found. So I have to think they're still involved in this somehow, which I think is a major disappointment, because I don't think this feud could be saved unless you brought Phoenix and presumably Andrade in to team with Penta just to reunite the Lucha Brothers.
What have happened to those two?
I have no idea. Yeah, I would have suggested that they were waiting.
No one rides the bench, though, in this company.
Oh,
just remember that. Okay,
no,
they're all fine. I just found this to be nothing special. And of the two Entas I saw today, I give the edge to Kenta over Penta.
Now, Rusev, they seem to be like giving him wins to set him up for something. What could that thing be?
Side note, did you see the spot in the Donnybrook fight with the barrels, with the Irish curse off the barrel spot?
I saw the, I watched
the Cosm angle.
No, I didn't see the Cosm angle.
If you went to a Cosm theater, they had different angles that you can see the spot. Mm-hmm. So to the side of the barrels is Jessica Carr holding up the barrels so that they don't tip.
Right.
And it's just, it's one of those spots that, you know, like if the shoe was on the other foot, they would have just been destroyed for. But if you were just watching the regular broadcast, you never would have seen this. But at Cosm, you get all these different angles. So you're seeing like just this ridiculously contrived, like Jessica Carr's putting all her weight to hold these barrels in place as they go for the spot, which these barrels, it's not like they were like they're wobbly and stuff. So anyway,
I think that should be like a rule in kayfabe that should say like, hey, a referee is allowed to get involved if they really think a performer is going to be hurt from diving something.
If something wobbles, they have to unwobble it.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you saying about the match?
Dude, I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
Sorry. I kind of like this match. Vic Joseph interviews Dominic Mysterio during the commercial break. He is asked about Vikingo. He has nothing to say about Vikingo. And then the crowd just takes over singing for Dominic. And Dominic doesn't know what to do here. So he's just like, worlds collide Friday night.
Oh, man. Get ready for that same reaction.
He's probably going to be the big baby face. I mean, they've got 2,000 tickets out. So it's going to be a bit of an intimate crowd on Friday. It's not exactly going to be Triple Mania on this week. They plugged out Brock Lesnar appearing on SmackDown. And LA Knight meets with Jimmy Uso. And Jimmy's asking him if it was an accident. Knight was like, what the fuck do you think it was? Like, I couldn't have seen him. And he assures him it was an accident. And Knight then clarifies, there is no we. Knight is done being friends. I took a super kick from Jay, and he cost me the chance to win the title. And in the past, I faced Roman Reigns, and you cost me the match. So, I mean,
Good point.
Complete on the side of LA Knight here. It's like, you guys have all screwed me here, and he's going to get screwed later on, too. So I think Knight, he's just gotten beaten at every corner here by these Usos.
Yeah.
The dream match, Nikki Bella and Asuka. They start the match. There's a chance for both of them, and Asuka goes to the floor.
Interesting, when you listen to the chant, it's mainly women for Nikki and mainly men for Asuka.
Oh, I didn't decipher that. Well, that is kind of interesting.
It makes sense. It makes sense to I guess consider, I guess, what about each person appeals to each gender.
I can see that that making sense. Asuka uses Kairi as a shield on the floor, and then Nikki just sets her aside, and that allows Asuka to land a head kick. Come back from break, and Nikki recovers from a senton. She goes to the turnbuckle, and she lands the disaster kick.
She does. Yeah, she made sure to look behind her this time. I almost wonder if she was doing it like explicitly to let us all know. Hey,
she basically wanted to get up and give a middle finger to the hard cam.
Yeah, very much so, maybe.
After the disaster kick, I don't know what it was. Nikki did seem a little like off in like certain areas here. She fights the Asuka lock and then she absorbs these kicks, hits the Alabama slam, and then goes for the rack attack, but it's avoided. Asuka hits the spin kick and the Empress impact before applying the Asuka lock, and Nikki taps out.
So she was going for a spinning heel kick.
She was.
Last week.
She was. I totally forgot about this Empress impact.
I thought it was a hip attack.
I thought it was this Empress impact, but I mean,
well, now it's like a definitely a kick.
Yeah, she definitely has added this. And Nikki taps out. So it was 10 and a half minutes. I do feel Nikki was kind of feeling this by the end of this match. But what did you think overall here?
Well, honestly, if you told me 6 months ago that Nikki Bella would come back to face Asuka in a match on Raw, I certainly would not have expected it to look like this, right? Like, so I thought she looked very good considering that. Like, this is still somebody who is still relatively new and coming back. So I think, you know, from a different era, you know, so I think I have to continue to give a lot of credit to Nikki for being able to live up to a modern standard. I mean, in hindsight, really, like, the reaction to the Becky match was really overblown for her. And I think she's worked very hard to get to this level. Crowd was reactive and on her side, and I thought it ultimately resulted in a good match. In particular, I liked the way they continued to show that Kairi-Asuka dynamic by having Asuka using Kairi as a human shield. So now, she's basically using her as a human, well, like, she's her slave, essentially, and Kairi is too scared to get out of it.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, we're going back to November of 1995 as Rewind Away takes a look at the Survivor Series featuring Diesel defending the WWF Championship against Bret Hart. We'll also have weekly editions of Collision Course with the Carousel of Co-Hosts joining Kate from Montreal, reviews of TNA Victory Road, New Japan's Destruction in Kobe, and it is the Ask Away Mailbag Show as John and Way answer your questions all this month at postwrestlingcafe.com.
Next week on Raw, John Cena is on the show in Springfield, Massachusetts. Lyra will take on Roxanne Perez, and we will have a face-to-face-to-face-to-face with Punk, AJ, Becky, and Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of faces facing off.
Yeah.
Staring at each other. Judgment Day congratulate Raquel on her win. Dominic walks in, and they ask, what have you been up to with your new amigo, El Grande Americano? We've been left in the dark about this thing. And Dominic explains, it's a lucha thing. You just wouldn't understand. And maybe he wouldn't need extra help if you guys didn't get banned last week. It's like, they got banned last week. What does that have to do with moving forward? And Roxanne goes off to talk with Dominic. So a perpetual state of unrest is the Judgment Day. That's basically their characters. Someone is always upset.
Yeah. Yeah. And Roxanne is continuing to tease getting closer with Dom. It's been a while. She's been, teasing it for a long time.
We go backstage, more Nikki Bella. She runs into the Kabuki Warriors. Asuka insults her. Nikki wants a round two, but now she's got backup because Rhea Ripley shows up and asks, do we have a problem? Asuka says, we've got two problems, pointing at them and says, I am the top woman in WWE. And as she leaves, there is Kairi left to handle all of this. And then she is yelled upon by Asuka to follow her. So we've got... Yeah.
Asuka called herself the top woman, and Rhea, of course, brought up, well, I thought the top woman was your friend, Io. So, I mean, continuing to obviously tease that tension. I think Asuka has been amazing as this new character. I think she's so charismatic. I mean, she's always been so charismatic, but now she's getting to showcase it in a speaking role. And we're talking about like a pretty legitimate speaking role in that she's not just there to do her catchphrases. She actually has lines now. So I'm really glad to see them find ways to develop unique and engaging characters for their Japanese talent here. So They're building up, like, I would say, a lot of relationships also between the women's roster now. So we know Nikki and Stephanie are friends, okay? Best friends. Nikki and Rhea are friends.
I so want the sit down with Nikki and Rhea.
Nikki and Rhea?
Like, just...
you might get it on the podcast at some point.
Maybe Nikki is a closet taxidermy fan. Maybe she likes...
Could be.
Stuffing previously... alive animals.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect her to maybe showcase that relationship on the podcast, if not, if she hasn't already. Rhea and Io have some sort of, like, obviously on-screen connection, so, I mean, they are forming, you know, the bones of what may be a, like, a baby face front, for instance.
And that takes us to the main event of LA Knight and Bronson Reed. I can't say it was the most compelling main event. I felt I had hit a wall at this point of Raw. Knight sidesteps, Reed goes into the post and then into the steps. Reed would clear the desk, takes control during the break, Breaker's getting involved, and then Reed throws Knight over the top. Knight then gets thrown into the timekeeper's area, Reed gets thrown into the timekeeper's area, and Knight jumps. He leaps from the desk to the barricade onto Reed, and then in the ring, goes for a neck breaker. It's blocked, and Reed hits a senton, and it misses. Leaping elbow is connected to by LA Knight. He goes for the blunt force trauma, which gets stopped when Knight is sent into Reed on the apron, and it leads to the jagged edge by Bronson Reed to get the win over LA Knight.
Yeah, I wonder why he calls it that. Jagged edge.
Well, they were going to call it the jagged big dog.
The jagged big dog.
I thought that word was banned.
The jagged big...
Yeah, sorry. That one took a little bit of an explanation.
Jagged edge.
Yeah,
very good.
Jagged Copeland. Okay. I wasn't too into this match. This kind of just felt like a... I don't know. It
doesn't feel big enough for a main event, right? Despite big being in the man's name. I mean, Knight. I think again, Knight has shown a real capability of being in this sort of role to close out a show. I think his in ring certainly has improved, but I mean, he doesn't have the status of, you know, many of the others yet. Neither does Bronson Reed, who's also a work in progress as well. But the most interesting stuff is what was in the post-match.
Jimmy Uso runs out, and he gets jumped by both men. So he's just getting beaten down. Jay is still in the building. He didn't leave. So he runs out, hits some super kicks, but then Braun spears Jay. And the Usos get lined up for a tsunami, but they get stopped by LA Knight, who has returned with chair shots to both Bronze. And then Knight looks at Jay in the corner and asks, "Are we good?" And then he helps Jimmy up to his feet, he's turned, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere comes Jay spearing LA Knight, and Jimmy can't believe it. And the crowd boos Jay Uso as the show ends.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Didn't know that they would be going in this direction. He got his lick back.
I mean,
his receipt.
I'm not going to lie that I definitely, maybe it's just you and I had that same connection, but when he said, "Are we good? We're good." And then Jay turned out they were not good. I thought of the same thing too. So you were not alone in that.
Well, receipts are just, I mean, they're still fresh on people's mind, but I don't think this was obviously meant to reference it. A bit of a heel turn for Jay. And I think it's an interesting direction, you know, with Roman now being a babyface. I think having Jay use his desperation to regain the title, leading him towards a similar evolution as what Roman had is an interesting way to go about it. So it's making Jay, you know, a bigger focal point of the show. It's making him a more interesting character.
Yeah, and quite frankly, I think that it's kind of an interesting direction. Like, it's in some ways, it's the idea of turning this guy. In the other, it's you're trying to give reasons for Jay to be more serious and not rely on friendships and stuff like that to make it a little more interesting than just simply he's turning for no reason. Like, there's a whole idea behind here, because let's look at this on the show. It's like you've kind of got like Seth in this role as your champion, and I mean it's an interesting
path. Same time though, man, it's hard for me to think that they would give up all that merch money.
Well, I mean, Jay would not be my first pick to be turning in any sense. Like, he to me has been, you know, for whatever critics he might have, I think he's been a major success this year, a major success in a lot of ways. I mean, but yeah, we'll see where they are.
Maybe
going
he's
with
just
this.
Sick of moving his fucking arms up and down, like, you know, 3,000 times before every match.
He's like, "These guys paint me as having no cardio on Unreal. Look what you make me do." And then these guys added an encore to it. What the hell? You try and do a match after getting blown up from your entrance. So there you go. That concluded Raw, which as an overall show, I did kind of feel this one as kind of just, it felt like a jagged edge at certain points. But I thought the big segment was the Punk AJ one with Becky and Seth. I thought that one really hit. I thought that was a very good segment, and that was probably the most important thing. I'm not as into this Usos Breaker Reed match itself. I'm fine with like the Usos doing the story and such. The match itself, I can't say I'm like clamoring for this match. It kind of just feels there for WrestlePalooza. And
let's go through the card so far.
Sure. What are we up to now?
Officially announced, we've got Io Sky versus Stephanie Vaquer. The Usos versus The Vision in a tag team match. Bronson Reed and Braun Breaker, of course. CM Punk and AJ Lee versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. And then John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. Those are the four matches officially announced so far.
Potentially Cody and Drew, which would make five. And, I mean, we'll see if they cap it at five. They could put as many matches as they want on this show. They might have an incentive to be even a longer show.
I'm wondering if like Rhea and Nikki with Asuka and Kyrie.
Yeah, obviously we're getting that tag match, but they didn't make it clear when. That's something you could throw in there.
Charlotte and Alexa are still a thing, aren't they? They're champions.
Right. Yeah. Once Charlotte is cleared. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Just got to find some challengers, I guess.
If there are more matches to be announced, I would look towards SmackDown.
You've got Zayn in the mix. I mean, there's plenty that they can draw from if they so want to bulk up this card. Like, that's going to be an interesting part of this whole ESPN thing, too. It's like, what kind of length do they want on these shows? Do they want more? Do they want, you know, they're happy with, like, the five matches. It's a good format. I mean, we'll see.
Well, like, define more, because, like, five matches we know is already, like, a 2.5-hour show for the WWE, right? So...
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be that long. You could do...
Are you suggesting they might want, like, a three-and-a-half-hour show?
I'm just saying, I watched, like, Clash of the Champions that would have 10 matches that they would get into a two-hour slot. It can be done. It's just WWE.
Like, is that
their pacing is horrendous.
Is that
and maybe it takes
to their commercial inventory? Is that beneficial to their watch time metrics or what?
Like, well, I mean, this last show, this Clash in Paris show, I mean, you had like four matches that went over 20 minutes. You could do 6-7 match card in like 3.5 hours. Like, that's totally reasonable, and you're not going to cut people on time, but it's like a lot of your promos and commercial inventory, like that's worked into it. But I mean, there's also stuff that is not necessarily stuff that you're making revenue off of that are just time sucks on these shows.
All right,
well, we will see. That's coming up September the 20th. We should mention what's happening on September the 20th. Should we?
Yes.
I know some people were contacting us wondering are we going to go head to head with any of these shows? No, we're going earlier.
Yeah. All Out will now be at 11:30 a.m. if in the Toronto area at Gabby's, 309 King West. No cover charge. There is this is still a pregame. I mean, All Out is set to take place. I guess the buy-in is supposed to be one now? Is that right?
Probably.
We
know the live special on TNT is at 2 p.m., but there may be matches before that. So,
okay.
I mean, you can judge accordingly, but hey, if you can drop by for a little bit, we're going to be hanging out here before we head on over to the arena. So 11:30 a.m., Gabby's, 309 King West, and again, no cover. We're going to have wrestling music, some of Davey's drink specials, prizes, a lot of fun. So you can get all the details at poisonrana.ca. Again, 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, September the 20th.
Yeah, sadly, unfortunately, I could not break commitments, so I am taking myself
You're all
out.
Out.
Yeah, I'm pulling a Stephanie Vaquer, and I'm unfortunately unable to make it, but we will be well represented. Nobody's there for me anyway.
Well, it's early enough that Braden will probably still be hungover, so that's going to be a sight in and of itself to check out. So I will be making my way there before I head on over to All Out. So I look forward to seeing everybody there. On that note, we're going to say goodbye here on the YouTube channel, but the fun continues. We're heading on over to forum.postwrestling.com. You've got some questions, some feedback to Raw. We're going to go through those, and then we're back later this week, including Pollock and Thurston on Wednesday at 1 Eastern, and Way and I can next be heard Wednesday night after Dynamite.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.